Good evening, saints. Hope you all are doing well tonight. We have a lot to be thankful for, amen. Man, that word that we received Sunday morning on Thanksgiving, if you weren't sitting in here, I would just get a hold of it and get it into your spirit as soon as you can. It's just one of those words that we've heard the subject, but it's just a fresh word. And for this hour, when you see that list in Timothy and it talks about unholy, unloving, unthankful, and it has it right in there with these areas of a condition of people backsliding and turning away from the Lord, and just those are little barometers. You know, unthankfulness is just a very dangerous thing to give into, give place to, and yet we all have to war against it. And it was just a tremendous word, not just on war and against it, but the victory out of it. It's just being thankful and looking at the cross and how good God's been to us. And that verse pastor was sharing on being justified freely. And he kept saying freely, freely. And we know that true salvation produces works, but we're justified freely. Amen. And have so much to be thankful for. And then the evening, it was just another one of those words. And we've heard about signs and wonders and the power of God and reaching souls and having that heart of compassion and a heart that can break over the condition of the lost and a heart that can weep, and the cry in pastor's heart for intercessors in this hour. He just said, I would to God that God would just get a hold of a few of us. And we're not saying that we don't have intercessors here, so that's not what we're talking about. He was just saying, I would to God that God would just get a hold of a number of us and just give us that spirit of intercession that just travails and groans. And I don't know if you've had a chance to be around intercessors. I have, and prayed with them, and I'm not one of those. I'm a man of prayer and a man of the word, and I spend quality time with Father, but I've seen people who pray for hours a day and get up every morning at certain times, and they just sometimes, you don't know anything that they're doing. It's like behind the scenes, but man, the impact. I've heard pastors say over these years that he's mentioned specific people who used to intercede for him on a regular basis, and he sensed the impact of them going home to be with Jesus. And just take that as a stirring. And I know we have people in here who are very prayerful. We're thankful for how prayerful we are as a people. But just to take that and be prayerful and say, is that what you're speaking to me, Lord? You know, about soul winning, about the compassion, about in our neighborhoods. He talked about ladies going out and reaching people in the neighborhood. And maybe it turns into a Bible study, not a little mini church, but a Bible study outreach where you can interact with people at that level and show them the kindness and friendliness of the Lord with the gospel, and then help them to realize what you're getting from us is over here. And look for a chance to get him out and invite him and let him taste what's here. We have so much to be thankful for, and we are so blessed, and at times we lose sight of it. We don't want to lose sight of it. Man, the word that we're receiving here is so powerful. It's so precious. It's so life transforming. Our lives, the majority of us has been here for a long time, and our lives have been changed. Like scripture says, from not only after being born again, but being fed, you know, because the shepherd's role is to feed and lead. And he said to Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. So we've been fed from being little sheep, lambs, and grown into well-fed sheep. And we become a people like a Gideon's army. And we shouldn't think it strange that Satan's going to look, as we've been hearing these messages on guarding against strife or unforgiveness or bitterness, Satan's going to look for a way to penetrate. And we do have victory over him, but we're not ignorant of his devices. And one of his devices is strife. Another one is unthankfulness. Another one is holding grudges or holding onto some darkness and trying to handle it independently or on your own. And you start drowning in it instead of getting help and crying out and letting somebody stand with you in prayer. We have no reason for people to be suffering and hurting here, spirit, soul, or body, whatever your need is, in any area, and just sit there and say, nobody knows, nobody cares, I don't know if they'll understand. Nobody should give in to any lie of Satan like that in a place like this. Amen. Where there's all this love and all this care and all this true family that we have here. I was talking to a man of God earlier this week. You've heard pastor refer to Joe Kyo. And I mean, he's just one of those guys, Pastor sharing with the deacons last night. He's one of those brothers, man, who's been in the gospel for over 50 years. He got miraculously healed. He was left at a crusade of, his name slipped my mind, a guy from Oklahoma, but, Osborne, T.L. Osborne crusade for dead. Actually, they couldn't do any more at the hospital, left him for dead. He got miraculously healed, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, been preaching since. Great man of God, great vessel of God, been used in many nations. And the admiration that he has for our ministry and for the spirit of our ministry, and namely for Pastor himself. And we were just firming up, you know, in a couple weeks here, Pastor will be preaching in that gentleman's church. And we were just firming up that everything's good to go. And he said, man, just tell your apostle, just tell him, man. He knows us, but tell him I guard my ministry with my life because I want everything to be sound. But he said, I consider it an honor when that man comes and ministers in my pulpit. What a blessing. What a blessing to who are we? I mean, we look little, we don't look like we're much, but we're affecting more than we realize. More than we realize. And with all the different opportunities, there's so many, Pastor probably wouldn't even share them all, remember them all, that we're just being prayerful because Pastor wants Father to open the door and he wants God's timing to be established and he has the weight of your lives on his heart and wants to go and be away when Father wants him to go away because he wants to do all he can to pour into you and the next generation to be able to stand in this hour. And should the Lord tarry, though we don't believe he's going to, no one knows the day or the hour. If our kids have to continue to grow up in this spirit, the weight that's on his heart right now, for us to be pouring into them what they need, not just doctrinally, which is so important, the knowledge, the doctrine, but especially what we're leading them into by our lifestyle. And one of the things I've heard him travailing about recently has just been, are we really getting a hold of what worldliness is? You know, sometimes when people think of worldliness, they go down certain paths, and we all have that tendency. And the Bible simply says, because all it says about the world is, the world's going to hate you. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. But John makes so clear what it is, and it's the lust of our flesh. Not just the lust of the flesh, our flesh. The lust of our eyes given place to. Because we all battle these lusts and this pride. We all war with it, though it doesn't have dominion over us. And the pride of life and being able to just say, Father, is because that word on worldliness really has been about a refining of the church and getting ready for the soon coming of Jesus, which translates into a greater care and love and service of one another and a true heart for the lost, not just to reach them and see them converted, but to sow into their lives and see them discipled. That's the fruit of that refining. That's the fruit of us returning and keeping our first love and the flame of God's love and spirit alive and at work in us. That's what it looks like practically, but the burden that's been on his heart that we would recognize the areas where we're more worldly than we think. We're more vexed than we think. Not so we would get under condemnation or self-analysis and be tormented by the enemy, but so we can just be able to know, man, I need time in God's presence. I need to get into this word, and like it says in Psalm 19, that the entrance of this word, it gives light and understanding to the simple. Satan is going to do all he can in this hour to keep us from being in this word. Because the more you're in it, the more it's in you, right? And when you hide it in your heart, you're not going to sin against them. And when it's alive in your heart as you commune with God and it starts becoming what you pray, your prayers are going to be answered. And the enemy knows when you pray according to God's will and you're abiding in Jesus and his word's abiding in you. And so what's the enemy going to do? He's going to just try to distract you, annoy, something that'll annoy you. Just remembering that we have enemies out there that oppose us, but our real battle's not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. But I was saying that about Pastor and referencing Joe Kyle because the appreciation as Joe's heard Pastor minister, he's like, man, you don't, you know, he's like, Ron, you don't know how encouraging this is. I'm, I've been in the gospel 50 years. I've been so maligned by even other men of God. I've been so persecuted for this stand. And to hear another guy with no apology just come and share the stuff that I've been battling for and from generation, I mean, from a decade, I mean, excuse me, from, yeah, decades, 10 years, decade to decade, just battling these last 50 years. And to hear him speak things that bear witness and we know are from the Word. Now, here's a guy who, like Pastor said, this guy has 3 earned doctorate degrees. He's a true Pentecostal to the bone, spirit-filled. You wouldn't even know he's a doctor of anything. He's just a down-to-earth, spirit-filled guy who loves God, and he loves the people of God. And he's going, how can I get you here to teach more than one time? Then he's publicly like making fun of me and going, if you can't get him here, basically you're useless, Ron. You're useless, Ron. He didn't say it that way, but he basically gets on my case. And he can't get, you can't get him there because of his love for you. That's why you can't get him there. Tremendous opportunities. Some of the largest churches in the world. And he's going, man, I don't know if that's God. We got stuff going on here. That's a shepherd after God's own heart. And when pastor does get time, see, it's a privilege to minister at Kaios Church, but the real thing in pastor's heart that Father's opened doors for him in is his ministry to pastors. And you all don't get to see that like some of us have, but when you see him in that realm, it's one of the coolest things. His heart being poured out, his years of labor, the anointing that's on his life, but his ministry not only to us pastors and those under his immediate oversight, but when he's ministered to men of God, even though he says stuff to step on their toes, most of them have come back and said, you know what, this is what we cut our teeth on in the Pentecostal movement. This is what we used to get in the 40s, in the 50s, in the 60s. I said that to say, we need to pray for pastor, man. Those messages that we heard Sunday, there's a price in the spirit. There's a price to pay. We need to just keep holding them up and not losing sight of that. That's not something you have to pray about whether you should be praying about it. That's something you should commit to praying about. And let Father give you that heart, that burden for him and for the rest of us elders and the deacons in this church and the move of God, the purifying that's been going on here with the refreshing that's been coming. And we believe there's going to be a continued refreshing. And that's the thing that Pastor shared about people coming in here and finding the refreshing and people being drawn. And we've already heard maybe up to 5 now, just people said, I don't know, I just was pulled, drawn in here, don't even know why. We know why. We've been praying. We need to continue to pray. And as ugly as this hour is, and we're being refined and purified, but this isn't just about us making it. We need to help each, as we heard Sunday, we need to help one another and have that burden for one another to be sensitive. Like Pastor was talking about, he orders our steps, not just concerning jobs, and he does that, marriages and these other circumstances, but in our ministry and care to one another, people in our neighborhood, people in the supermarket. He wasn't kidding when he said, just pretend you're shopping and grab a basket. I thought it was humorous, but it was a great point. Just go around like you're shopping, man, and you got 2 hours. And how many souls can be reached in the supermarket? Now you got to watch your eyes in there too, or your pocket can get killed. But if you're a little bit hungry, sometimes they do those little snacks that are for free. Just don't hang there the whole time unless there's souls there, you know. But we're so blessed. That's one of the things I'm heading out. Some of you might have heard. I'm heading out and being sent tomorrow and going a week ahead of pastor and have some phenomenal opportunities to sow into some of our men that are in our ministry, which is a privilege, a couple of our Nairobi churches and other opportunities. Truly covet your prayers. Truly. Need those prayers just for things to be done in the spirit. Amen? By the grace of God, for the glory of God, for the edification of his church. But that's one of the cool things that pastor is going to do as minister in Joe Kaios church, and Joe's excited. And then there's, pastor mentioned to you about praying about these books. We have almost 12,000 books that are just about done. And this is the same gentleman who printed I don't know how many thousand for the Tanzania when back in like 2003, pastor was invited to teach like 9,000 senior pastors in Tanzania, Dar es Salaam. We had thousands of books, six of them in English, six of them in Swahili, the same books on holiness that were distributed to so many people there. And this brother who printed them in Nairobi is the same brother. He just loves our ministry. We've had great fellowship with this brother. He's an elder at a well-known Pentecostal church in Nairobi. And he's the brother. How many of you remember? Did you ever see that magazine we used to write in called Revival Springs? Any of you remember that? That was a magazine that circulated Kenya, a distribution of like 10,000. And that brother was so blessed by our ministry, he used to just give us free primetime pages in that magazine. And he had so many people who wanted to be in that magazine, he would turn down people who were paying full price. But he gave it to us free for years and years, just because he said, this word has got to get into the country. Then we don't want to sit here and become overfamiliar, amen? And just the cry we've been hearing in pastor's heart in that Psalm 71, just, I heard him say it again yesterday, so I was like, I know it's a word that he said that the Lord spoke to him, but I just want to go look at it myself again and see, what is this cry that's in him? And I'm hoping to get to that tonight, but just, God has done, we were sent there in 1999. And we were helping another man who had churches and realized that that's not what Father had for us. And then we pursued our registration that we got in 2001, miraculously. And some of you have heard it, some of you haven't. We got reminiscing about it yesterday. And one of the reasons is we had a chance to talk to the gentleman God used to help us get that registration. As soon as he got on the phone, haven't talked to him in 18 years, the guy was excited. And the first thing he goes is, brother, that was a true miracle. And then we just got rehearsing how miraculous, how supernatural it was. And pastor was really blessed because the persecution and the lies that were being spoken against us to keep us from getting it out of envy or men who had aspirations of what they would be in our ministry or what money they would get from the white missionary. And when they didn't get their way, they would kind of like try to discolor the ministry and write bad stuff about us to the areas because they knew we were pursuing registration. So they'd send a bunch of stuff like, I'm a Muslim, I'm going to buy arms from Uganda, we hate the government, we're opposing President Moi. I mean, the kind of stuff that makes the police come get you. And they did. We never spent a night in jail, but we've been apprehended before and grilled for hours. But one of the things that pastor said before we got registered there, because there was a moratorium on registrations. I mean, a total freeze. Nobody in government could register a church unless the president said. And boy, did we find out. And we would go sit before the registrar and we were told, man, you got to give them money and that's how things operate here and you can't be a tightwad. We're like, we just don't operate that way. We want it to be God and pastor. And it just became more and more impossible. And then the reports, like if you're going to pursue registration, they'll like have seven different departments, like their FBI, their CIA, all these different departments will do like a security clearance check on you. And even if you get that approved, you don't get registered. So there's this pile of all these people applying. They let you apply, but they don't register anyone. Well, our security thing, because they didn't know what was being said about us was true or not, our file, because I was in there one time in Nairobi, and I'm like, did you know they're writing all this stuff? And the guy showed me the file. It was some bad stuff, and it was thick. It was about like that, of all negative stuff. But the government people who were doing a security clearance on us, they all turned us down. Not that we could get registered. But if they're going to register you, they want you to be cleared security-wise. Hey, we did the check. They're clear. We were turned down for that. So it just, the level of impossibility kept going from bad to worse. It was just like mounting up. And pastor would be like, well, one thing we know for sure, if the Lord wants us here, it's going to be supernatural. And over the years, as we'd get persecuted and go through stuff, he'd say, well, the Lord put us here. They can do whatever they want. There's no way they can take us out because God put us here. One of the guys who was trying to help us in those early years, in the year 2000, 2001, he was sure he could help us get registered because he knew the then President Moi firsthand. And they said that there's two bishops who he trusts, and if they go, they can help you talk to the president, whisper in his ear. But they said, man, when you go see those bishops, you're going, don't even talk, don't even think that they're going to go to bat for you and ask him a favor without you bringing him something worth it. Don't waste your time, right? That's what we heard, and it was true as far as what they said. But the impossibility of getting registered was so amazing. And when you see how God did it, and I'll come around to that, but over the years of people opposing the ministry that I was sharing, we've had people try to bring the ministry down. We've had some persecution that went national, newspapers, over dumb stuff, but just the enemy trying to stir stuff up and take us out, hit us with his best shot. Even people we had favor with, government officers we had favor with, who just washed their hands and didn't, and just kind of like let the people kind of say whatever they wanted to say and said, let the court sort it out. We had so much opposition, but God defended us every single time. Without us raising the arm of the flesh, without trusting in man, even lawyers we talked to so we would know what the laws were and what we were being charged by, God would give us spirit-filled brothers who loved the ministry. Even last time pastor was down there ministering in Eldoret, that lawyer, spirit-filled brother, came to the meetings. Cool. That lawyer would just come to the house and give us free advice, and he'd say, well, if you have an offering you want to give, that's cool, but just people who love God, God ordering your steps and putting people in your path to bring about ultimately his purpose and his glory and what he's called you to do. And the thing about Kenya that's cool is pastor had 30 years before we even went in his heart, somebody had prophesied over him. But pastor's sensitivity to wait for the right time. There were so many invitations over those 30 years. But in 99, that was the first time that we visited before 99. The pastor was like, let's go there for 6 months. And if you ever hear that, just pack for a little bit longer. Where's Forb? Forb, I told you when you came, but I was trying to be careful. Forbes like, we could just get this smaller fridge. We're helping him buy some appliances because we're just going to be here for 3 to 6 months. And I said, it might be wisdom to just get a larger one just in case. I did think you get a slightly larger one, right? The Lord's been good to us. We've seen his hand, and I'm just referring to Kenya. We've seen his hand in so many areas, so many things that we can talk about, his goodness to us, his grace. But we need prayer in this hour. Like never before, we were hearing Sunday just that stirring about men ought always to pray and not to faint. We need to continue to grow as a people of prayer. We heard about how good we're doing in evangelism, but there's more souls. We can never get to the place where we laud ourselves or pat ourselves on the back. We're thankful for what God's doing in us and through us. Amen. We give the Lord the glory, but we're privileged. And when we've done everything we're supposed to do, we still have to have that spirit of, I'm the debtor. I'm privileged. Paul said, I'm a debtor to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome and to everyone in the world. For as much as in me is, the apostle said, I want to just preach the gospel. We can't hold back. We can't just say, you know what, I need a break. Those are the times where, and I'm not saying we don't get refreshed. I'm not saying we don't go on vacation. I'm not saying you can never lay a hand. That's not the point we're making. But that spirit where David thought, you know what, I've done a lot. And he took a break. And that's where the enemy comes into our areas of weakness, our areas that we all have these propensities in our natural man, and we're more prone in some areas than others. But we're all flesh, and sin is sin, and the world is the world. But just being aware, when you start getting out of the Word and being on the offensive and setting out against the enemy and looking for souls and laying down our lives and caring and ministering to one another, you start just praying everything about yourself, and you're not praying for others. You're forgetting to pray for your leaders. You're forgetting to pray for your fathers and mothers and deacons and looking out for other people's interests, not just our own. Then you know you're becoming more introverted, and it's a slow process of the life of God being choked out of us. But we can be recovered, praise God. Can you say amen? The Lord's merciful. He's going to draw you. He's going to deal with you. He's not going to just let you sink and not be trying to bail you out, man. He's going to come after you. But there has to be a turning and a cooperation of our wills to let him turn us. And maybe we could just turn over to Psalm 71. Pastor, was there anything you wanted to interject at this point that you wanted to throw in here? I wanted to come back to Yago and a little bit about Eli, if that's okay. But maybe since Pastor mentioned Yago, Bishop Yago is the gentleman who, he's the gentleman God used to help us get registered. It was another bishop. And then he said, you know what, I'm coming up short, but if this bishop, if you meet this guy knows the president, he's the president's pastor, his name is Silas Yago. Has a good spirit, non-spirit-filled brother. He's now the bishop of a group called Africa Inland Church. There are over 4,000 churches, no exaggeration. And I don't know, we met the guy supernaturally, and talking about, you know, when Pastor made the comment in the Sunday morning where Jesus must needs go through Samaria, there's just little things in here that the Holy Spirit really orchestrated. Pastor, I don't know if you can remember, but one of the things was we're spending a lot of time in Nairobi, and you know, the Grand Regency, though we had great prices, is not a cheap hotel. But it was a good hotel strategically for all the stuff we were working on with registration and good security. But we're also looking to be more cost effective, and the ministry money has a lot of uses, not just staying in a hotel for registration. So we went once and we were trying to work with a certain amount, and we went to another hotel and they weren't that much cheaper, but it fit the budget, but it wasn't as good a hotel. There was a lot of stuff going on there, but it would meet the need. But there was something in there going, man, there's something about being at Grand Regency, not just that it's 5-star. You check your heart and go, because I definitely like better. Better is better, you know. But there was something in there that says we must needs be here. But I was told this is what the budget was. And if this must needs be here is God and not my flesh, then I'm just going to go to management and say, hey, look, you know, here's what our budget is. Can you do it? And I did that. And they went, yeah, we'll do it. We know you. You're a man of God. You've ministered in our Bible studies. The long and the short of that is, that's the hotel where these people working at the hotel, we were witnessing to a number of them, and like I said, teaching in their Bible study, they got to know us, and then they said, well, there's a bishop who comes in here we want to introduce you to who ministers in our Bible study. We met him at that hotel. That must needs be at the Grand Regency, though it's nice, and posh is nice. But there was a divine purpose that went beyond 5-star, 4-star, 3-star. God had a man there that he wanted us to meet. That man introduced us to Yago. And that's the guy we talked to this week, and he was just beside himself. And just to remind you briefly a little bit about him, he's a guy who we had to interact with a lot over the registration, so we fellowshiped for hours. And this guy became introduced to who we are, what we believe. He says that his group is, they're from missionaries out of Pennsylvania, that they believe everything Bible. So that made it easy for me. Everything that they didn't believe that was in the Bible, if you did chapter and verse, he wouldn't argue with anything in the Bible. So that means we talked about healing, and he's like, this is cool. We'd talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit. He's like, yeah, that's Bible. He said, we don't believe it, but it's Bible. So the guy was really open, and then he would see the contradiction of we believe only the Bible, but... And then you'd show him stuff. So I'd give him pastor's books. And I'm like, I wonder how he's going to do with this. And he'd be like, you got another one? Guy went through like 8 books like there was no tomorrow. And he's like, any more? And I'm like, Adam's rib, it's probably going to kill him, man. Some of what they think culturally, marriage, I don't know how much they've... We went to one bishop's church, 12,000 people, and pastor taught on family. He said, this is the first teaching on family that's ever happened in this church of 12,000 people. So that's not the prominent teaching, at least from the pulpit. You'd go to a seminar or something. So I give this book to him, and I'm like, he's going to get killed. And he comes back, I don't know if it was a month or what it was, and I'm like, so how are you? How was Adam's rib? And he was like, well... He said, man, it was tough stuff, man. It was some hard stuff in there for me. He said, but it was all Bible, chapter and verse. He said, we need it, man. I'm like, you can fellowship with a guy like that. So anyway, maybe to share with you a little bit about the registration, but just appreciation for his spirit toward that material and getting a taste of our spirit just by sitting around fellowshipping with me. And I tell these guys, well, you know, I'm junior here, and I'm just one of the sons, and we're a team of guys, and here's what our spiritual father's poured into us, and here's how he does stuff, and here's how we operate. And so he's getting a feel for who we are, and he's reading these materials, and he's going, okay, this is all a blessing, but Ron's messed up, but these materials, no, he didn't say that, but we had a good relationship, and it was an opportunity to sow into his life. I mean, we invited him out to our house, met him and his wife. This guy was so blessed by pastor's material that this guy wanted to take all of pastor's books. They have their churches in 11 African countries, and he wanted to take them all there. These guys have never, this is no exaggeration, ever invited a Pentecostal to teach in their pulpits, much less teach their senior pastors. He invited pastor to teach their senior pastors at large. And I told you there are over 4,000 churches. He invited pastor to come teach his pastors because he said a couple things. First of all, he said, we need this. The church needs this. Our pastors need this. And he goes, and man, you're Pentecostal. But he goes, you're different than these Pentecostals I know, man. He said, your feet are on the ground. Now, he's thinking of the people who probably jump and swing from chandeliers and do all their shundies and Holy Spirit told me stuff. And he just said, everything that he says that's Pentecostal has a chapter and verse behind it. And he goes, I'm comfortable with that. Again, the privilege, that door is not a door we went through at that time. But it was interesting talking to him the other day. All of that came up again. So can you be in prayer about that kind of stuff? Those books, and you all remember a number of you, that great man of God, servant of God, Willard Cantillon, just a great brother. How many of you have heard him speak here before, Willard? He was about as close as you can get to a walking Bible. He'd stand up here sometimes and just quote chapters. And then, you know, he's up here teaching and he's not even looking and he's telling you, now back down to that verse, back at verse 11, then he'd take you up to that verse, back up to that, and he's not even in looking at the Bible. I think ultimately whatever you hear me say about any of these men of God tonight, these men have been drawn to the Word of God that's in us. Christ in us, the Word of God in us, flowing out of us. And what they all have said is, and no compromise, and it's the whole council. In love with no apologies. And he goes, that's what we need. And that's why these invitations, and plus the prophetic ministry of Pastor Scott, sometimes he's speaking to areas in their lives, and they're sitting there going, how did he know that? Somebody tell him? Or you know when you've been sitting there, you all been here for years, and you're like, I wonder if the deacon told him. Most of that stuff that you wonder, nobody told him anything. It's just the Holy Spirit. And you all know very well. But let's not be over familiar. Amen. Be thankful. Be prayerful in this hour. And your contribution to all this, it takes each one of us doing our part. Our prayers. Our faithfulness in all the different aspects of ministry. Not becoming lax. Taking our preparation for the little ones serious. Being on time. Showing up to prayer. Not giving in and backing off in this hour and saying, you know, it's been a long time. I've been saved for all these years. Not giving in. We all have to battle off and battle with apathy. But let's not give in to it. Let's war against it and not be lukewarm. Let's be full of the Holy Ghost in this hour. Let's let our ministry be the result of living waters flowing out of our innermost being. And I'm just saying, there's a lot of people out there who are, I'm going to refer to some of these different guys. These are good men, great men. They have good churches, but they hear what we have and they go, we got to get it here. And we got to be thankful that we got a shepherd who won't run around and give them. And sometimes they've asked, Pastor, can you put a couple of your, these men on your team? Can you put a couple of them on loan? We can go around and do this and that. Pastor's told them, you gotta raise your own men. He told Kyle that. Kyle's like, man, if you could just give me Ron, Tony, a couple of these guys for a month or two, take them around. And he's like, I hear you, man, but, no. Maybe get back home. We got stuff to do. But they respect it. And it's humbling that they want to give us opportunities and flow with them and whatever, and those are good men. But we got a work to do here. There's children to be raised, amen? There's youth who've got to grow up. It's cool to see them growing up. Young adults who have to mature. Marriages that got to get stronger. We can't let the base get weak, and that's where a lot of them have missed it. Even when I went to India last year, that guy was humble enough to go, hey, you've been here now for a week. Is there any observation or anything you'd like to share? I want to hear it. Any counsel you got? That was very humbling. I almost stuttered at that because he's overseeing 350 churches. And who are we? He's asking me, what do I see? What do I think? But that was one thing I told him. I said, if you want to follow what Pastor Scott does, he builds the base, the Antioch Jerusalem principle, because this was a guy who was building his base, and he was building a nice church too, man. But he's also so requested, so he was struggling between, and he was asking, how do I get these people to the maturity level, but there's all these places I got to travel. So I just shared with him how you go about it. And he said he's going to pray about it. It was before I even left the country. He said, I've changed my entire schedule. Just because he heard the wisdom of the word that Pastor Scott's applying and go, you know what? I think that's what it is. That's what's going to make my marriage stronger. It's going to make my leadership at my church stronger. It's going to make my people stronger. And then everything else works from there. And anyway, it's very humbling with Yago. And back to the registration thing, the short of it on the registration part of it was he went to bat, went to the president, and the president told him, yeah, I'll do it. And he took and introduced us to the president. That was cool, very humbling. We met him, and then he said, these are the people that I've asked you to register. So we meet the president, and Yago says it'll be a short time. Well, there's these delays, delay after delay after delay. And Yago's trying to figure out what's going on. Because the president said, I'm going to do it. He's going to do it. So he would go to the attorney general who facilitates. That'd be the person the president calls, attorney general. And he would facilitate it. And then you get a call from their office. You're registered. Come pick it up. So he'd go to the attorney general and go, did the president call you? No. Did the president call you? No. Month after, week. Month. And Yago would be like, I don't know. Well, it turned out that all those negative reports had come into the hearing of the attorney general, but Yago didn't know it. And the attorney general didn't even know the name, that it was Calvary Temple at that point. He just knew the president's going to call and register his church, and then I'll find out at that time. So one time Yago's like, he didn't call you yet? What do you mean? Are you sure he didn't call you? He didn't call you about Calvary Temple? And the attorney general goes, Calvary Temple? That's who he wants to register? Are you aware of this, that, and the other, and what the security forces said? And now Yago realizes why the president hadn't called. He didn't know that Wacko, the attorney general, is going to tell him, hey, president, this is not a good situation here from the security side of it. It's a risk, blah, blah, blah. Yago sees that. He took it like God protected him because he went to bat. Imagine how many favors you're going to ask the president. And one of his favors was get this church registered. That's the Lord. You know, how many things are you going to ask him for, right? Even though they're friends and he was his pastor, you're not going to ask him for something every day. That's just totally the hand and favor of God. God turning his heart toward what eternal purpose he had for us in that country. And one of the other bishops, before he handed off to Yago, said, I am convinced if the devil can fight people as hard as he fights you guys, you all have an eternal purpose in this country. That's what he said. Because at one point he came and he sat with me. He goes, missionary, I'm trying to figure this out. I think I know what you all believe. I know you're Pentecostal. You used to be AG. Can we rehearse again? I just want to make sure that you guys aren't a cult. I want to make sure you guys don't have any heresy or false doctrine. Don't take it wrong. But when Yago and I work together, people get registered quick. And you guys, maybe there's a delay. Are you guys a cult? So he sits me down. He grills me on our doctrine. So we go down. He goes, man, that's Bible, man. So he goes, okay. Then he comes back. He goes, I prayed again. And he goes, for Satan to oppose you guys like this, there's something that God wants to do through you. He was right. So back to Yago again. I know I'm jumping around a little bit. Yago gets that word from the attorney general, and he immediately calls me. He goes, we got to sit and talk. And he basically sat and go, hey, I can't help you anymore. The president's going to think I'm either being bribed or I don't know what I'm talking about, whatever, but I'm sorry. I'd like to help you. I really wanted to do it. I told you it was the Lord, but you understand the situation that I'm in, right? And I'm like, absolutely. And I said, I don't know how we would get registered in the natural without you. You seem to be the vessel that God would want to use, but I do believe with all my heart, brother, we release you, though you're not asking to be released. Don't feel bad. And God is not limited to one person. If he wants us here, we're going to get registered. And he goes, thank you, whatever. And we're about to part. And this guy is sitting across the table. This is about where God willing, next week. I'm meeting him back at that place where this happened. That's going to be really cool. This guy's sitting across the table. And his face visibly, I kid you not, his face visibly got altered. To me, it just looked like, I don't know what you'd call it. Something just came down. God came down and visited him. His face got altered. He looked at me. He goes, no. In fact, no. I'm going to see the attorney general right now. Right now as we're talking. I got to go. I got to see him and I'm going to vouch and tell him I'm going to vouch for you guys and I'm going to try to convince him to still not bring that information up or something to that effect. So he goes to the attorney general. The attorney general is also a friend of the president. He wasn't just serving in that capacity. They were pretty good friends. He goes, there's no way I'm going to lie. He said, I'm not asking you to lie. He said, I'm asking you that if the president doesn't ask you, you don't tell him. Because I know these people, and those are all lies. And he said, okay, if he doesn't ask, I won't tell. A couple weeks later, we got a call. Sickest night I had there. Never fainted, fell into some vomit. It was a bad night. I was ready for good news. I get a call like 8 a.m, and it's Diego, and he goes, are you ready for some good news? I said, yeah, I'll take it. What is it? He said, go to the attorney general's chambers and pick up your registration. It's done. That was a glorious day. 2001. It's 18 years later. And to see what God is doing there, the ministry of Pastor Rob and Pastor Forbes, the growth of our pastors there, the strength Pastor sharing with the deacons last night, the growth in our churches, the privilege that Pastor Tony and had with our wives to go lay the foundation was a great privilege, and we're all been a team and had a part. All the missionary trips, Pastor Jeff's ministry, Pastor Jimmy, Waleed, Lavinia, everybody, Pastor coming like for years. He'd come every year and minister. It's been a real blessing. That's just one little tiny segment of our ministry. That's how blessed we are. We have over 20 churches there right now. And they're growing. And like Pastor said last night, he said, if we were to leave right now, they would stand. And it would get down, he believes, to the next generation. What a privilege. A lot of hard work, but a privilege. We got a lot to be thankful for. And we got a lot to pray about. And none of that would have been possible without your prayers, without you being on those mission trips and ministering to those lives. How many of you here have been at least one time? Can I see your hands, please? Pretty cool. What a blessing. Be another trip this year. Already full, right, Jeff? 30. So you're giving just the thankfulness for your generosity. I don't know personally. I've been not this many churches as pastor. I've ministered in a lot of churches. I've never seen a giving people to this degree and hardly ever talk about money. But can I tell you, we need to stay in the fear of God in those areas. Amen? We don't want to play with God's money. Amen? And we want to be a people who continue to not only be faithful in the tithe, but that spirit of, and the offerings, praise God. Amen? So just keep that stirred up in you too, because that begins to be another indication when we lose our thankfulness and we start getting more self-absorbed. We start just becoming me, more with the money too. And there's nothing wrong with being a blessing and being blessed, but we don't want to lose that spirit of who we've been over all these years, and that we continue to do it in a spirit of worship and adoration and in the fear of the Lord, and nobody can outgive God. Amen. And I believe that's been one of the keys of how blessed we are as a people here and the different doors that open for us. And even though we've seen people leave who were some of our biggest money givers, and we've seen even recently some of the ladies who stepped away from work who were making decent money, but God has always provided because of your faithfulness, and it's nothing that we can boast in. God's been good to us. As we're trying to come to a close, and I got you at Psalm 71, let me give you another quick thing about another opportunity Pastor's going into. Pastor, I was going to stop there and see if you had any... I was going to share a little bit about Ellie and see if I could share a couple points on Psalm 71. Anything at this point here you want to interject? Cool. Praise God. Another opportunity that we have is a brother called Ellie Rope. He's become the senior bishop of a ministry called Full Gospel Churches of Kenya. They were birthed out of missionaries from Finland. Anne here tonight? Hi, Anne. From your country. And we have a little history with them and met this gentleman in the year 2000. He was really drawn to us, been fellowshipping with him, kind of similar to Diego, except this guy's spirit-filled. They're a spirit-filled group of people. And this gentleman, about 4 years back, heard got to sit and hear pastor minister in one of our conferences and said, this is what I remember when the missionaries came when I was a kid. This is what we need. And so anyway, in the last year or two, he's been next in line to become the top guy, the top bishop of, it's a group of 3,500 churches. They started their ministry like in the 40s or 50s. And I remember in the year 2000, the missionaries in Finland wanted to see this guy ascend to the top. And he's like, I am not trying to go there. I just want what God has for me. He was pretty humble and not as ambitious. I don't know if it was fear or he had other things that he was involved in, but there's also a genuine humility in this man's life. And I know Pastor Fork can tell you about it too. He's had a chance to meet him and they've had great fellowship. But from those years of meeting him in the year 2000, last year, he was been serving for a couple of years as general secretary and next in line to become the top guy, similar to Diego. And he was also in a quandary. And Pastor, maybe don't let me forget that point where you spoke that word in Diego's life. I think that's the one thing I left out. But this guy was in a quandary about whether he should be, does the Lord want him to take the top post? Though he's next in line, he didn't want to just take it because it was available to him. He wanted to know God was in it. In the process, he was just talking it out with us and opening his heart to Forb and myself and seeking counsel and said, you want us to take it to Pastor Scott, see if he has anything? He goes, man, that'd be a blessing. So we went and got some input for him and Pastor just had one of those words for him. It wasn't even complicated. It was just like, you've been saying this. Maybe it's the Lord who wants to use you with all these things you're seeing that have gotten off track from the foundation. Maybe you're the guy the Lord wants to use, put it back on track. Sound doctrine that you said that we're losing some. The prosperity message is starting to become an emphasis instead of readiness for the coming of Jesus. You pray about. Maybe you're that guy who's going to put it back on track by your ministry to the pastors. And he went and prayed about it. He said it bore witness. That was the Lord. And after this, where pastor's been invited, he said, actually, I need y'all to come. When he confirmed he was going to take that role, he said, one of the first orders of business is inviting y'all to come help me teach these guys. What a blessing. What a blessing. And that's where those books are going. It's to those guys, the Full Gospel Churches, guys. And for that brother, he's just got a good spirit. Pastor's going to be able to sow a little bit into his life and get some time with him. I'll be meeting him next week, getting some time with him. But he's given Pastor two of the prime, even though he've given Pastor these speaking opportunities, he gave him his own sessions. He said, they need to hear from Pastor Scott more than me right now. I'll have other opportunity. That's just a great spirit. And gave them the two primetime sessions and gave a little 20-minute buffer so we can get the books out to these guys. 12,000 books. 3 books for each senior pastor. And an opportunity to get some of these books into the missionaries' hands so this stuff can get back to Finland. Another thing to be thankful for. And you just don't know who the word's getting, even if we don't ever go there and speak. Printed page. In a day of social media and a lot of stuff on the internet, it's still cool what the printed page can do. I can't tell you how many testimonies of the Revival Springs magazines that we were writing in for years, and you'd hear people talk about testimonies of magazines and articles they got a hold of that were 3-4 years old. So many testimonies I wouldn't know where to start. I don't think I can even remember them all myself. So that was cool. And one thing I left out with that other Bishop Diego, the guy who the Lord used to help us get registered, was when we met him, he was the second to the top guy. He was deputy bishop and he was next in line and he was right at that point and he was in a quandary about is it God's will? And pastor spoke a prophetic word into that brother's life that bore witness with him that caused him to take that role. And on the phone with him this week, he said, you know, from the time you all spoke that word and we met, it's been 18 years. And this is my last year. I give up that position in December. He said, but I'm going to become a missionary ambassador into all of our countries where our churches are. I want to talk. And that's when the issue of the books and the other things came into play. If you just make it a matter of prayer, because we're not just trying to do stuff or just trying to force an impact. But if there's doors opening, and pastor's heart has always been, if this can get into the hands of the servants of God and help encourage these pastors, he said, that's a blessing. And that's the heart that pastor has, the heart he has for you, but the heart he has for the kingdom, for the body of Christ. Sometimes he's been accused of just being more, you know, isolationist, or it's just you guys. And he's like, no, he's told people it's not about that. It's here's what God called me to do. And I'm not anti any of those people. I'm not saying we're better, but this is what God called us to do. Can't be distracted from the course. But from time to time, these opportunities and these open doors, it's a blessing and a privilege. And I believe it has an eternal impact on their lives. So pastor's going to have, that's going to be actually February. And we'll probably, with pastor's guidance, probably get an email out so you could pray more specifically at the time that he's going to be speaking. But in February 13th, he's going to have that opportunity to speak to these 3,500 senior pastors of full gospel churches. And they've opened the door for us to bring some of our guests, some of our men, and our men are pumped. The guys who are under our care and pastoring our churches are going to be there as well. So we're excited about that. 6 minutes? I'll take a crack at Psalm 71 for a few principles. I know you guys are wondering if I'll stop at 9, but that's okay. I try to. Pastor's presence here keep me accountable, guys. Pastor Fry, going to this on the testimony side of things. Do you, on these different men, was there anything that you wanted to just praise God, man? Mostly just wanted y'all to appreciate the opportunities and get you guys to really be praying and seeing behind the scenes what you all contribute to in the spirit and your faithfulness and in your giving, and just to not lose thankfulness and appreciation for what God's done here and the lives that are impacted just in this one area. We could go down and talk about finish the race. We could talk about other things, but it's a real blessing and a privilege. And but I was just hearing Pastor refer to this again in light of some of these opportunities about Psalm 71. So I went reading over it again and got blessed. But in verse 8 of Psalm 71, it says, "Let my mouth be filled with your praise." And it reminded me on the Sunday morning teaching, you got to get a hold of that thing on thankfulness and a thankful heart that translates in the fruit of our lips, praising and the worship of God, the adoration. But let my mouth be filled with your praise, and look at this, and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together. They might scheme, but we know that no weapon formed against us will prosper. We still have people out there who are scheming. We still have people out there who'd love to see us destroyed, who'd love to see pastor brought down. But the bottom line is, if God's for you, nobody can be against you. Amen. They come in one way. God's going to make them flee in seven. But we have to stay in faith, in a heart of forgiveness, in a heart of love, and in a readiness to be persecuted for what we believe and not demand our rights and what's just in our own eyes. As we go into this hour, there's going to be true persecution, and we have to be able to have that heart of meekness that Pastor's been teaching on in the fruit of the Spirit that can turn the other cheek, because in our natural man, we want revenge. We want to get justice. This isn't right. We want to demand our rights. And in the Spirit, there could be time for our rights in a right application, but a lot of times in the Spirit, our rights are to be like Jesus, and what Jesus would do and told us to do is how he wants us to be. And he was as a lamb before his shears, right? But in all these things, right, we're more than conquerors, amen? Verse 10, "For my enemies speak against me, and all those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, God's forsaken them. Pursue, take them, for there's none to deliver them. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed." Let God deal with them. Amen. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. "We who are my adversaries of my life, let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt." But look at verse 14. "But I will hope continually." I love that. We're a people of hope. Amen. Which hope we have is an anchor for our soul, praise God. "I will hope continually and praise you yet more and more." We go through persecution, but that doesn't diminish our praise. We want that spirit of Job that no matter what we go through, man, we rise up and we say, God is good. He didn't sin with his lips. He rose up and he praised God. He said, no matter what I'm going through, he's worthy of praise. God doesn't change. He can't be shaken. I feel like I'm shaken and tottering right now, but the Lord is the same. He can't be shaken. Amen. His word is settled in heaven. Praise God. And then back to verse 14, I'll hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day. For I do not know their limits. Amen. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you've taught me from my youth. And to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, I was just kind of going over this again and trying to hear pastor's heart because he's referred to this psalm several times. And you can go over it as you're standing with him and hearing his heart and saying, God spoke this to me, man. And I want to see God bring it to pass. And I believe it is coming. It's in the process of coming to pass. But whatever it is that he has sensed, just having that heart that stands with him and, Father, whatever you're working in his life, whatever you want to use him for, he's your servant. That heart of intercession and again, that appeal. There's some of us here that God's called us to go more in intercession than we have been willing to. And I'm telling you, it will cost you. It will cost you food. It'll cost you sleep. It'll cost you sometimes being with people, but you could never quantify the reward of it if God's calling you to it. It's not an issue of works. It still has to be out of relationship and love for God, but it's truly a needed ministry. And that heart of an intercessor can even work in the spirit of people reaching souls. All of us need to have that heart of an intercessor and standing in the gap. But I believe there's Father's hand is being spoken to based on what pastor said to also just give themselves more faithfully to it. When I'm old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high, and you've done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again, praise God, and bring me up again from the depth of the earth, and you shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. And then he goes on and says, I'll praise you with the lute. Let God arise, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this time in your presence. Father, just to speak of your goodness, the good things that you've done to bring us to where we are for this hour. And I believe with all my heart, you've called us into your kingdom for a time like this one. And Father, the doors you've opened, all we can do is thank you and praise you. We were humbled by the privilege. We don't want to get caught up in any flattery or any glory from man or anything else that we're seeking other than your will and your eternal purpose, Father. And we're looking for the mind of the Spirit, the counsel of your Holy Spirit to be sensitive to your Spirit, to be able to faithfully represent what you've done in our lives, to represent your person, Lord Jesus, your lordship in our lives, your glorious word in the power of the Holy Spirit, and this vision to be faithful ambassadors of your kingdom. And I believe this vision is representing what the word of God is. There's nothing in our vision that's not from your word, Father. And we just want to be faithful and give you all the glory and all the honor. Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Why don't we all just take a moment. We're going to pray with Ron and as he's going out, believing the Father will order his steps. And so if the elders will come, let's go ahead and lay hands and just some great opportunities. Amen. You know, it's been quite a quandary in my life over the battle we've been in for all of these many different things that have happened. I've looked around. So many of the men that have been my contemporaries are all retired now. And that's where Psalm 71 comes in. All of the guys that were here, young men, we were all the young guys, Bob Roden and some of these guys with the Assemblies of God. My other co-laborers and friends we're with, they're all dead. You know, they've gone on to be with the Lord. And in the midst of all of it, just looking and asking Father at one point, especially during the times of some of the greatest persecutions, and, you know, Father, are you done with us now? If so, then praise God, I'll step aside gladly and pass this thing on to the next generation. And that's where Psalm 71 came in, that battle that I was going through at that particular time. And the Lord spoke to me. And, you know, we're all the same. Our flesh is flesh. Ministry, I've shared with you before, it's in the ministry, there's ambitions. There's people are judged by the size of the ministries or the size of the crowd you preach to or how well known you are, et cetera, over the years. And at that one point, as I was just wrestling with the Lord and we had doors opening up and to go over to India, and I've shared with you before, you know, the people that are impressed by the numbers. And so here's a church with 70,000 members. Would you come and speak? Do you know how many preachers would give their right arm to go preach to a group of 70,000 people? And I'm like, I don't want to go over there. I'm tired. Tired. I've been battling this. I've been battling demons in the heavenlies for a long time. I'm tired. And another opportunity, yeah, go, and then the church just fly a couple hours across that place, and there's that new church, and the guy was in your meetings, and the ministry changed his life, and he's got 50,000 members, and I'm like, I'm tired. And these other doors keep opening, and that's when the Lord spoke to me some more, and even just refreshed me with this verse the other day, and thinking about, is it time to pass this thing on to the next generation? And the Lord spoke to me, he said, I didn't deliver you out of these things for you to squander your life on yourself. You know, I'm blessed. We've been blessed with everything we have. The natural man, you know, it'd be just to kick back and just relax and come to church and get to hear the word and just fellowship. And the Lord stirred in me and again and just the refreshing and saying, I delivered you from these persecutions. For the work of the kingdom of God, not for you to take rest. And so as these opportunities continue to arise, if they should, if they're of the Lord, we don't go seek anything. There's so many preachers and all they do is network and try to get to know this guy and any opportunity and get their name known. And we've just been the exact opposite, as Ron shared in Africa. You know, we've taken the exact opposite approach. If it's God, I want it to be supernatural. And then we can have something to trust in. And so, as I was in prayer this afternoon, the Lord just impressed and said, call Ron and see if he has something to share. And he said, yeah, there is something on my heart. I didn't know what he was going to share. So I said, well, I just sensed that the Lord spoke and said you had something on your heart that you wanted to share. So if that confirms it, then yeah, go ahead. Just share whatever Father's got. And as he shared this tonight, I think for all of us, let's just take this admonition and be refreshed in the Spirit and see there's not a lot of days left, praise God. And let's just intercede and just whatever Father has for us, let's do it. Amen. See what God has. And so be prayerful with us. And we're going to pray with Ron right now as he goes out and that Father will just open doors and minister through him to these, our fellowships and then these other guys. But he made a comment in the opening about here we are, this small congregation, but the effects of your prayer, of your faithfulness, your giving has affected tens and hundreds of thousands of people. Through television, through the radios, through the ministry of Mohan over there that we helped put through school. I mean, this guy right now, how many is in that organization, the World Pentecostal?
Oh, there are almost 70 million right now, and he is the second in charge of the whole amount.
So Mohan, you know, this guy that we have open invitations, we put him through, helped put him through Bible college. He just loves this ministry and what it was in his life. And he now sits as second there in this organization. 70 million members. 70 million. It's the largest Pentecostal organization in the world. Now, we can't print that many books, but, you know, Father's still opening these doors, and so we just want to be faithful to the end, praise God, whatever He has for us. So I just wanted to share my heart and ask you to pray for me, and that Father would continue to refresh us in this hour.
Amen.
As I analyze it, if we don't, if we're not able to continue and commit ourselves to these things, then there's really no need for us to be around. Our work's done. Let's just go home. But it's not 4 months till the harvest. The harvest is now, praise God. So let's just stand before the Lord, and we're going to pray and be prayerful for us, and let's do that battle in the heavenlies, praise God, and realize that's where the victories are truly run. Hallelujah. Let's just pray and believe, Father. Father, we thank You right now for the work that You're doing in our lives as a fellowship, Father, and as You've set us apart for this ministry, Father, just let Your presence go before Ron now. Open doors of utterance for us, Father, that we could walk through with a confidence that our steps are being ordered of You. No man, no arm of the flesh, the anointing of God. Oh, Father, let that spirit of Gideon come upon us, Father, that in our own frailness and our own weaknesses, that Your spirit will rise up and cause us to be victorious. It's not by might, and it's not by power. By Your Spirit. Hallelujah.
Yes, Father. Thank You, Jesus.
Lord God, go before us.
Yes, hallelujah, Jesus.
We'll be careful to praise You, Lord.
Yes, Father. Hallelujah,
Jesus. And so now we speak that peace, and we speak that prosperity on this journey, and we'll give You all of the glory, Father, and all of the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to the person next to you and say, we're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. Amen. Go in peace.
Thank You, man.
God's love go with you.